everyone, and welcome to Another Bite, where we rewatch the most innovative and intriguing pitches from Shark Tank. I'm Jory, and I'm joined by the jazzy, the jovial, the jammy John.
Doo, 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 doo.
It's my jazz intro. What do you think? You know?
Yeah, maybe workshop it a little more.
Okay. I think I sound pretty good. The trumpet is not in tune, but it's got spirit.
What do you call a redheaded gentleman from a long line of redheads? A gingerbread man. How do you handle a redhead's temper? Gingerly. Okay, I'll cool it with the redhead puns. But hey, these founders turned some light bullying about their hair into a whole line of products. We love a good harmony moment. Will these founders make the cut? We'll see after a brief ad. Teams everywhere are dealing with a serious problem, a productivity problem. It's no secret, and it's nothing to be ashamed of. Most tech is too complicated. There are too many time-consuming tasks, and teams aren't getting the info they need to close deals and connect with customers. Don't worry, HubSpot's customer platform can help. It was built to save time and make your job easier, so you can get back to building your business. No more hours wasted on time-consuming tasks. No more chasing down prospect info. No more one system for this, another for that. HubSpot can help you find leads, reach prospects, and deliver the insights you need to convert them to customers, all in one place. Plus, HubSpot AI can literally do more of your work for you, so you can focus more on scaling your business. Because HubSpot knows you have some big growth goals, and they're here to make your productivity problem no problem at all. Visit HubSpot.com to learn how they can help you grow better. So today in the tank, we have how to be a redhead. And how to be a redhead is brought to us by Stephanie and Adrian. And these sisters are asking for $350,000 for 10% in their business, which is a $3.5 million valuation. Their business is How to Be a Redhead. So this is a line of beauty products designed specifically for redheads, because the problem that they're trying to solve is that there aren't enough beauty products on the market that are specifically built for redheads. They often are for blondes or brunettes, and it's an often missed category. So their solution was just beauty products, think eyebrow, mascara, shampoo, all this kind of beauty wear to complement redheads and their style, because apparently that's 2% of the population. Who knew? So thinking about our pitch, our product, and our founders, John, what is your initial take on how to be a redhead?
Wow.
Wow. Love it. Okay. Good vibes.
Okay. Well, they say there's riches and niches.
Okay.
That's an expression that people say.
Is it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Who would say?
Okay. You ever heard that, Jory?
Nope. Continue.
Yeah. It doesn't work if you say there's reaches and niches, but it works if you say there's riches and niches. But yeah, you know, people say that, you know, if you focus on building a big mass market product, boy, can it be hard to actually gain momentum, because the competition is fierce. Mm-hmm. And if you go to a niche market, or a niche market, I guess, that you can make a real breakthrough, because a niche of a market can be totally underserved by the mass market products. Mm-hmm. And so my first thought is, wow, maybe they've stumbled upon a niche. And the real question here is, does that niche have enough market size, and can they capture enough of that market to actually make a return on investment if you were a shark here? So I think that's really the question.
That makes sense. So we start to like unpack this as a company. And I would say, as we start to see their numbers, it seems like it is more of like a riche niche, if you will. Because I mean, they're projected to make upwards of 2.4 million. And I mean, even if you're thinking about 2% of the total population, like that's millions of people. So don't you think in this case that this might be actually a niche worth investing in?
Well, let's talk about the market size here. Mm-hmm. So yeah, 2% of the world's population are redheads. Did you know, Jory, which country in the world do you think has the most redheads?
Ireland.
No.
Really? Wait, okay.
No,
where?
The United States.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes sense, like numbers wise.
Yeah.
Okay.
The United States has the most redheads. Yeah, yeah. And in fact, we have somewhere between like 2 and 6% of the population are redheads.
Oh, wow. Okay.
How about that? So let's just say 4%. 4% of the US population are redheads. That's like something like 12 million people.
Yeah.
50% female. I'd imagine this is mostly a female product. Maybe some men will use it a little bit, but like really feels like a female product.
But the branding.
Yeah. It's definitely for females. So we're talking about like maybe 6 million people, and like a bunch of those are kids. So now we're really getting down there. We're talking about like 3 to 4 million people are the total market for these products in the US. And then it's just a question of what percent of the market can they capture. And so I started to try and think through like, what are the comps? Like, what are the comparables here? Because there are a lot of niche beauty products. My wife has curly hair.
Sure.
She has been through nearly every curly hair beauty product there is.
Sure.
I know there's products for gray hair. Mm-hmm. There are definitely a lot of products that are out there. And the question is just, is the problem that this product solves
big enough?
You know, they certainly are making the case that redheads are underserved, but I don't know if most redheads feel that way or not, or if they're just living their lives being fierce and fantastic.
Counterpoint, John.
Yeah.
I would say that a lot of the curly girl community, that's like the curly girl method, right? Mm-hmm.
Diva curl.
Yes, it gains momentum because there is a bit more of that community aspect. I think that online forums like Reddit do really good at bringing together people with this problem. And then these products are often positioned as like solutions to people with different types of curly hair. In this case, How to Be a Redhead is trying to kind of build that community around this one corner of the market. Mm-hmm. They mentioned that they have a podcast. They've spent 10 years trying to build this community.
Yeah.
So in the same way that I feel like there is a community around curly haired folks, if they are building a community around those redheaded folks, couldn't that just create the same momentum that your wife is seeing in the curly community?
You know, we can try and figure out how big and vibrant their community is. They started as an events company. Mm-hmm. They ran events for redheads. And then they transitioned into a beauty box company. And then they transitioned into like a lifestyle brand,
like brand
that has a product line of their own. So they've been building this for 10 to 15 years or something like that. They have 188,000 Instagram followers.
Yeah, it's not bad.
It's not shabby. 188,000 Instagram followers is not bad, but it certainly doesn't give me confidence that, you know, the majority of redheads in the world are seeking this out and are desperate to be part of this community. So if you're like, wow, we have 188,000 members of our community, maybe you can convert, I don't know, 50%, maybe incredibly 50% into customers of the product line. And so you're looking, oh, okay, like 90,000, 100,000 total customers. Like that maybe is just the cap on what their market's going to be unless they really, really, really find a way to break through with the redhead community, which thus far, 10 years of progress, I'm not sure they will.
Bit of a thought exercise though. Say that they're starting from scratch. How do you actually go about creating a community or making that jump from a brand to like an actual lifestyle brand? Because it seems to me that as we start to unpack the evolution, like they've kind of iterated on their business in a lot of different ways over the last 10 years. So if they are a brand and they're looking to, yeah, make that jump into a lifestyle brand, what does a business have to do to make that transition smoothly?
That's a really hard question to answer. I mean, community-led growth has been the talk of marketers for many years. It's something that comes up a lot. The challenge with community-led growth is it's really hard to hit scale because the value of a community is inversely correlated with the size of the community typically. I think in a lot of cases, the bigger a community is, the fewer people actually respond and engage, which is why you see community platforms like Reddit obsess around the subreddit concept. Like it's not that people are members of Reddit, they are members and active in subreddits.
Specific subreddits.
Yeah, because those can be small enough. And some of them do grow to be very, very big when they are, you know, general topic. And so, you know, the best community-led growth people I've seen work are very happy with achieving deep loyalty from a really small community of people because the community gets outsized value and they go on and they influence others and talk about it and they all buy the product, et cetera. It's just very hard to hit critical mass on that go-to-market alone, which is why if you want to become a true lifestyle brand, it can't just be a community-led growth strategy. Mm-hmm. It also has to be an education platform. It also has to offer a much wider range of value to the consumer, I think.
If you were brought on as a consultant to How to Be a Redhead, where do you think they could start if it's not just, you know, you need to build a new forum around redheads?
It's a complicated question, Jory.
Let's unpack it.
This is actually the hard thing about How to Be a Redhead is a lot of what I would advise a company like them to do, they're doing. Mm. They are a content creation engine. Mm-hmm. You know, they've got 4,000 posts on Instagram. They're putting podcasts out. They've run events. Like they've done all the things. And based on all that investment and all that educational content building, they're still kind of peaked at 200,000 total Instagram followers. Like they haven't broken through to a million or 5 million or anything like that. And it just makes me think that this might actually be the true and accurate size of their market. Mm. And so my advice to them might be to just ensure that they're operating their business right now in a way that maximizes their cash flow. They might want to consider not taking on investment, because as soon as they take on investment, they're going to owe some percent of their future profits to an investor. Mm-hmm. And that investor is going to force them to do things that would potentially devalue the value of the community. Right now, what do they make? They make, what's their margin? 80,000 net margin last year.
Yep.
On basically like $1 million in sales, something like that. You know, I think the thing that I would challenge them to potentially do is say, can you get that to like $250,000 of net profit on $1 million in sale? And can you grow that? Yeah, up to like 2 million. And then you each are taking home 250K salary a year, which is awesome. Like, you know, you're starting to make real money. They're investing everything back in the business right now, which I understand why they're doing that. But I just think they will probably need to obsess about yielding more cash out of the business, given that they might actually be towards the top of their market size, and focus on just getting much more adoption within their existing market instead of trying to like grow the market much more.
One thing that they mentioned is they have like a $26 cost per acquisition. Mm. And that was something that I was very curious on your take on. Is that a number that's raising alarm bells for you?
Big time.
Because I think it was Kevin that mentioned that that's like half of their initial order value, which was $55. Yeah. Talk to me about that.
If your average order value is $50 and your cost to acquire is $25, that means like most of your gross margin is wiped out just on marketing costs, mm-hmm. which means, by the way, if they are going to go into retail or other paths like that, and where they're going to actually make less per sale because they'll have a wholesale price for it, it's pretty tough. Seems like they are investing a lot in growing new people to their business. Meanwhile, they have 188 to 200,000 followers on Instagram. I'm sure their TikTok and other communities are vibrant and bigger. You might actually really want to obsess about tapping into those communities. The other thing they might want to do is they might want to obsess about a referral program. Mm, you know, okay. Referral programs are great. When I was at Trunk Club, it was our most valuable acquisition channel by a lot because the conversion rate on people who were referred in is very, very high. Okay. So the funnel is really, really good on a referral program, particularly for a product like this, where a redhead refers another redhead to this product line.
Redheads probably know each other.
Yeah. And then if you have a $26 cost per acquisition, maybe your retention of those customers is higher. Maybe you can actually do it for like $15. Like maybe you can build credit for future purchases. So you're not even paying them cash. You're paying them in product, which is easier for you. There's a lot of ways to build a referral program that become cash advantageous to the business.
We talk about like their market being only redheads. One of the things that was really interesting, a byproduct of marketing to redheads, is apparently they have an extremely sensitive skin.
A lot of freckles,
right? So it's like, I think missed opportunity potentially going into skincare. But also, I do think that there is a potential to broaden their market size in terms of folks that just need like a sensitive, friendly shampoo. Because if that's one of the big selling points, that's not just for redheads. I get solving for redheads. Both of the founders are redheads. Makes sense that they want to cater to that, as they were bullied when they were younger. But I also think that they are kind of putting on blinders in terms of their potential market if their products offer certain benefits as well.
Yep.
None of our sharks are redheads.
Mr. Wonderful might have been a redhead. We have no idea.
Yeah, actually true. He lost his hair. So we will never know. But they were interested. It was kind of interesting. We saw that Kevin was very interested in these numbers, these customer retention numbers, lifetime value numbers. A couple of the sharks just went straight out because they were like, this is not the product for me. But ultimately, we had a bit of a shark off between Kevin, who, of course, offered a royalty. It was complicated.
They can't take Kevin's deal.
No. Nope.
They're already paying $26 cost per acquisition. They can't put that up to like $29.
Into perpetuity. Yep.
Yeah.
Exactly. But thankfully, Mark was very much the shark to the rescue. He offered $350,000 for 15%, and they accepted. So actually, Mark got on the how to be a redhead train. Woo-hoo. Not a redhead, but that's okay.
He said his two brothers were.
That's true, actually. So maybe he was keeping it in the family.
Yeah.
But walked away with a Shark Tank deal. So this was actually a really recent episode of How to Be a Redhead. So very curious to see how they expand and continue to grow with the help of Mark. And as far as we can tell, it wasn't just a handshake deal. So fingers crossed.
I hope they feel really proud of what they've built. Yeah. I think getting to 200,000 followers on Instagram is extremely hard. I think being at something for 10 years and building community around it is extremely hard.
You have to be passionate.
Oh, mm-hmm. You have to be so passionate. So I don't know. I hope that they find a way to continue to translate that into a return for them personally so they can get paid mm-hmm. and compensated for all their efforts to build the community. It's not going to be a $250 million acquisition by a major beauty products company, but I hope they can build a business that puts off good cash for them.
Production for today's episode was brought to you by Ari DeSarmo. Editing comes from Robert Hartwig and support from Alfred Schultz. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify Podcasts, or wherever you subscribe to the greatest podcasts ever. That does it for me. See you next week in the tank for another bite. I want to take a break to tell you about a podcast coming to the HubSpot Podcast Network, the audio destination for business professionals. It's called The Next Wave: AI and the Future of Technology. It's hosted by Matt Wolf and Nathan Lands. AI technology is transforming the way we do business, and the media landscape is currently fragmented. The Next Wave is leading the pack on AI technology and how you can apply it to growing your business. Matt and Nathan are leading AI creators and your guiding light in the AI and technology frontier. Listen to The Next Wave wherever you get your podcasts.